Antiochus the Fourth, this particular king that is to some a type of the end time Antichrist. And I'd like to begin with a text really in verse or chapter 12, which by way of an introduction, and for such a time as we're in with many fanciful interpretations, many perplexed and asking the question, are we in the end of the end times? This particular pandemic and all that it has affected, and of course the great changes and problems our world is facing because of it. Are we in the end time? If we are, what is to be our response? What are you and I to do? Well, we may not be aware or know the particular detail or details. If this were to be the very end time, they will unfold, but we will have principles given. We have texts in scripture. We have God's word that do enlighten us greatly. And there are things we are to maintain, things we are to keep before our minds and in our hearts. We're not to be perplexed with the details, particularly, as I'm sure you're well aware, with much speculation and fanciful interpretations of a symbolic book like Revelation. Where are we? The mark of the beast, etc., etc. Let me just take you to verse 4 of Daniel chapter 12. And here is a beautiful text that tells us or indicates to us how the church of God, how the individual Christian will know a particular help from God, will have a knowledge peculiar to him or to her. General knowledge. We're not going to be told the specific day of the Lord's return. We know that Christ has told us not to expect that, not to look for that. But let me read the text to you. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, what's meant by shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end? Now, let me say at this point that many believe that chapter 12, and indeed some of the latter verses of chapter 11, take us away from Antiochus, away from the persecution of those times, approximately 160 to once from 170 to 160 BC, and they bring us down to the time of Christ, the incarnation, and indeed right out to the very end time. People will turn to the text, for example, in verse 2 of chapter 12 and say, this can only apply to the very end time. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That indeed is the very end time, some will insist upon. I think I favor that interpretation myself. If that's so, then indeed what is meant, what is to be our response in our own times as we see things that might indicate perhaps we're approaching those days. That verse 4, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. What Daniel's being told is he is a guardian. He is a protector of the book. Sealing the book protects it from alteration or from change. He is one of those guardians. He is being used to write scripture. The book is to be sealed and kept until, with regards to particular prophecies. And remember, when he's writing and receiving prophecy, even with regards to the successive empires, there were those that were after his own time, particularly the Greek and Roman empires, and then if these chapters or these verses are of the very end times, why Daniel was writing back in 530 BC. So of course these things were way in the future. But here's what Daniel is told to do. He is told to seal the book, to protect. There is to be no alteration, no change. The Jews were excellent at this. They were guardians of the scriptures. Shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. That is to when things will unfold. Things that have been revealed prophetically to Daniel will unfold. We may not know them until the time. They are sealed even to the time of the end. There will be wisdom given. Look at the rest of the verse. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, I've heard a very fanciful interpretation of this text. Knowledge shall be increased was this technological age in which we live, and so forth. But look, what it really means, what it's simply saying is that the people of God will have knowledge. Knowledge will be increased through the given scripture, through what has been revealed to us, not in all the details. And as we say, the devil is in the detail. Many want to know the mark of the beast. What does it stand for? What does it represent? Is it a barcode? Is it a microchip? Those things, look, when they happen, if such was ever to occur, we will know what Daniel is being told and what the Lord will have you and I know for our comfort, even at such a time as we are in, is that knowledge is given to God's people. They have this general knowledge of God's purpose in Jesus Christ, that he is unfolding, that he is in control, that he is leading and guiding his people. Whatever we have to face, God will be with us. Indeed, that's how chapter 12 begins. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. Don't be perplexed. Don't be overly troubled and concerned as you hear fanciful interpretations and explanations of various texts, usually from the symbolic book of Revelation. Just know you have a knowledge, you have an understanding. Think of even this present time. Are we not serenely resting in our Lord, in his control, in that we can put at least what's happening into a context? While look at verse 4, many shall run to and fro. Well, the interpretation of that by many, and the godliest of scholars, is that there'll be those running looking for answers. The ungodly, they're running to and fro. They're particularly perplexed. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. They're asking the big questions. What is happening? What's coming next? Well, you and I don't know what's coming next. We know God's in control. And as these things unfold, we can place them in context. And that's what Daniel's being told here. guardian of the scripture. This is for a time, and those that live through the time prophesied, they will see, they will understand, they will place it and see God's control, God's omniscience being manifest and vindicated as he prophesied these things. We may see, if we live long enough in the Lord's providence, and it's his plan to end this world soon, we will see and grasp and understand certain principles, even details of what has been revealed to us at this moment through the scripture. So we take heart, we are comforted to know we have a knowledge sufficient that tells us our God is omnipotent, omniscient, that he be with us wherever we are in his plan, in his purpose. And Michael shall stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people through the time of greatest of trouble. And of course, historically, that has been true. He was there to bring his people from great oppression and persecution out of Egypt. He delivered them out of Babylon. He delivered them at the time of the persecution of the early church. And the church multiplied and grew when there was an attempt to destroy it. He was there through the persecutions and oppression of the Roman emperors such as Nero. He blessed, he added to, and has increased the number of his people and taken his church across the world as he promised. He was there at the time of the Dark Ages, you know, such as is known by. He was there at the time of the Counter-Reformation and the persecutions of Mary and so on. He'll be there at the very end. Michael stands up for his people. Either the archangel, or indeed as many take it to be the Lord himself. And of course it would be the Lord through the archangel if Michael is such. But no, God is with us. God will keep us. God will protect us. And look, if our names are written in the book of life, no one, nothing can harm us. At that time, verse 1, chapter 12, latter part of the verse, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. None erased, none missing of the names in the book of life, written before the foundation of the world. We're safe, we're secure in Christ. Now let me go back to chapter 11, and I'm going to just go through some of these verses, and I've got 4 points just simply and quite quickly. What we ought to be guarding against, what we ought to do, what we ought to be engaged in, even at a time of persecution. And remember, this may be a typical or a type of the end time. Persecution, oppression of the church of God. Remember, Daniel's prophesying of the things that this Antiochus would do against the church. His hatred, his loathing of the truth and of the true God, etc. Well, we can see from the words of scripture what we are meant to be about, what we are meant to be doing, engaged in, guarding against. And I'll take you, first of all, let's see, to verses 30 and 31. For the ships of Kittim shall come against him, that ships from the west, the western seafaring peoples and nations, particularly here, the Romans, and under a Roman general, Gaius by name, the intent, the design of Antiochus to completely overrun the southern kingdom of Egypt was thwarted. The Romans came, assisted the kingdom of the south, king of Egypt, and Antiochus had to return back home. And he would do so back to Syria via Israel. For the ships of Kittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. That is, there were Jews in Israel who allied themselves to Antiochus. Treacherous, traitors to the truth, to their own people. Verse 31, and arms shall stand on his part. They would stand alongside him. They would join in. They would have a pact with Antiochus. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolation. Now we know that's what happened. The daily sacrifice ceased. There was a replacement of the altar of God with an altar to Zeus. But I want you to notice in the verse, and here's my first point or heading, and it is desecration of the sanctuary. Look, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. The sanctuary of strength. That's what the church of God is. Of course, here it referring quite literally to the temple. And it's the sanctuary of strength. Why strength? Well, because from there in the worship of God, that's where the people gleaned their strength. That's where strength was restored for the weak, for the despairing, to come into the presence of Almighty God to praise and worship and adore an omnipotent God, to be reminded that he is a merciful God as well as omnipotent, who would fight for his people. The altar was there, substitutionary sacrifices made to deal with sin. This is where the people of God would have their strength. That's why it's referred to as the sanctuary of strength. Well, the loss of that would be a great calamity, of course, to the people. And as Antiochus came, entered, ended the daily sacrifice and true worship of God, replaced it with idolatrous worship. And of course, there was a loss of strength. And again, if the churches of God allow their churches to be defiled, desecrated, they lose their strength. So here's something we are to guard against, whatever the time. We can't meet in a building as such. We're still the Church of Christ. We're meeting by such a means as we have now, and that's a wonderful provision of the Lord. So we do come together. We can sing his praise. We can worship. We can present the gospel. But we have to live the lives. We have to maintain holiness of life. We have to seek to be pure before God. We cannot desecrate the Church of Christ by a life that is immoral, hypocritical in any form, where we imbibe the world and the standards of the world. We've got to be constantly guarding against this. Here is the sanctuary of strength. that Daniel is referring to, that Antiochus is so keen to end the true worship of the true God. Well, guard against it. It must not be said of us, Ichabod, you know, the glory of the Lord has departed. Perhaps that's why we're meeting as we are. Churches cannot meet together in their places of worship. Perhaps through this, the Lord would have even his people understand how precious, how privileged we are when we can meet to praise our God and to worship him. I trust that's something you treat all with the greatest of gratitude and with great reverence and respect. Maybe we've become so familiar, and many of the churches that the Lord is saying, well, when you're separated, when you have to meet like this, and this is his gracious provision that we can do so, when you come together again, lift up your hearts, lift up your praise, lift up your thanksgiving. Remember, this is a special privilege. The churches are our sanctuaries of strength. God's word is preached. We can worship him. Worship that enhances the soul. If sincerely engaged in, if we're fervent, if we seek to give him the best worship possible, you know, with the truth of God and from the Spirit, worshiping in spirit and in truth, not merely with our lips. Have we come perhaps to treat these things with such complacency and familiarity? We were not doing that, is the Lord saying. Come, and when I bring you through this, then you must worship. Then you must be grateful, thankful, know what you have, know how privileged and advantaged you are. Now, verse 31 says that arms shall stand on his part again. There would be those Jews who would depart, if you like, the faith. They would stand alongside Antiochus for the material riches and wealth that he would promise them, and so forth, as is always the case in a time of persecution or trouble. But look, verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Well, that is a time of persecution, a time perhaps even such as our own, is a time of sifting. It's a time when true faith comes to the fore, and perhaps the spurious professed faith of many is also exposed. And that's what seems to be referred to so clearly here. Such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt, that is Antiochus corrupt, by flatteries, by promises of wealth and whatever else, perhaps elevation, positions of power and authority. And whatever, he bought them, he won them round, they denied the faith for such. Well, listen, let me just read some words from Matthew Henry. This was his understanding. This is his exposition, an application indeed from these words. And I'll just read them to you as they are. He says, those that make shipwreck of a good conscience will soon make shipwreck of the faith. The right knowledge of God is the strength of the gracious souls who do exploits. Indeed, he writes, it is not strange if those who do not live up to their religion, but in their conversations do wickedly against the covenant, are easily corrupted by flatteries to quit their religion. So that was Matthew Henry's interpretation, explanation, or application of the text, that there are those who abandon the faith. There are those who never really regarded the things of God with an earnestness, with fervency, with any real affection. And at such a time, they would crumble. They would fall. They would buckle. Well, notice though how the verse ends. But they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Well, of course, that's what we are to do at such a time as this, and indeed at all times. We are to know our God. We are, if you like, the resistors. That's what we are to do. There would be those, says Daniel, prophesying of this time, that would take their stand. They wouldn't be bought, indeed, because they were the true people of God, loved the Lord, loved his word, loved his truth. They would stand firm. They, because they knew their God, knew him intimately, knew him savingly, knew him as those born of the Spirit, we would say, those that were godly, those that were keen for the cause of their God, they would resist. They would stand up. They would be seen at such a time as a time of persecution and oppression. Well, here, friends, is our time. Here's a time when we can take that stand. And it is those that know their God. And you know, as we've made the point previously and in earlier times, the better we know the Lord, the more equipped, the more able we will be to take our stand. How well do we know the Lord? Even those of us that know him and are in a saving relationship with him. By his grace, we're converted, we're his. But how well do we know him? It's those that know the Lord that shall do exploits, that can face sin, that can resist the world and its allurements and enticements. Many are not resisting. Perhaps for many, sadly, this time where we're forced and compelled to be away from one another, perhaps there will be those who will never return. This may be the time they wander. They go away from the Lord. And when the churches are permitted to gather again, perhaps they've gone so far out into the world, they won't even appear back in the church. They won't sit under the word again. No, we have to take such a time as this. And again, for many, a time of forced rest from the workplace. Well, now's the time to get to know him better. People are perplexed and worried. They would be less so if they but knew their God better, were resting more in him, knew him to be an omnipotent God, not merely profess that he is so, but know him as a God of power. Know him as a God of omniscience. Know that he's the one true living God. And all these things that are happening are in his plan and are purposed from eternity. Our God is not flapping in heaven. He's serenely reigning. He's the glorious God. They that know their God shall do exploits. You can speak to that family member. You have a word for them. You can show them your rest and peace in Christ while perhaps they are so distressed. They that know their God shall do exploits. So lastly, let me come to verse 33. We're still to evangelize. Look, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help. Now Daniel's referring again to the time of Antiochus. There would be those Jews who would enter into a pact, who would betray their own people. They'd enter a pact with Antiochus. But there were those who knew their God, truly knew him, who would stand firm. Now what Daniel says, they will do or be doing, prophesying of this time. Well, they will be those that understand among the people. They will be instructing many. Well, what a golden opportunity you and I have. Surely it's been so, at least for some of us, that there are those family members or neighbors that you have been able to speak to, even at a distance, telephone, whatever. You've been able to say, yes, here is the context of what's happening. God is speaking. God is being merciful and gracious. There are those who have written articles or little tracts or whatever, and some of you have received those. Pass them on. Now what a golden opportunity we have. Whatever the time, we must remember we are to think of those who are lost. Think of those who are not in the care, that unique care of the Lord, and turn to him. Urge them to turn to him. Preach, teach, witness. Send a little word out, an email, a text. Write a letter, whatever it might be. But we are to be about our Father's business. So these are things that mustn't go or disappear from our own activities. What we are to do day by day. Seek the opportunity. Witness. Look, they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet expect persecution. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil. They would suffer for their devotion to their God and their love and care of fellow man. It wouldn't be easy. They wouldn't be well received by many. There would be those who despise and reject them for what they are and what they would say and what they would testify to. But they would be faithful unto their God. Now let me just again use Matthew Henry for this. He speaks of those in verse 33, and here's his application. He said, those that have the knowledge of God themselves should communicate their knowledge to those about them. And this spiritual charity must be extensive. They must instruct many. In times of persecution and apostasy, which are trying times, those that have knowledge ought to make use of it for the strengthening and establishing of others. Those that understand aright themselves ought to do what they can to bring others to understand. For knowledge is a talent that must be traded with. So here, Matthew Henry is telling us or giving us a simple explanation of the text, they that understand among the people shall instruct many. So in a time such as our own, even if it were to be the beginning of the end, and who knows, then we are to guard against the desecration of the church. We are to be godly. We are to live upright, holy lives. We are to be those that will stand for the Lord. We are not to be exposed as the hypocrite. We are to be resistors. Those that know their God will resist. And there are great temptations and opportunities to drift away from the things of God now. Be on your guard. Resist. They that know their God shall be the resistors. They will be given measures of immunity, indeed, from apostasy and from backsliding. And then we are to continue to engage in evangelism, whatever it costs. For indeed, we shall be helped. And again, in context, verse 34, perhaps referring to the family of Mattathias. Maccabeus was one of his sons that resisted and fought against Antiochus, and indeed was so successful that he restored temple and true worship in 164 BC, having resisted Antiochus and those that had sided with him. Well, look, we're called to this time. We're placed here by the Lord. You have responsibilities. So do I still. Let's, by God's grace, be faithful unto him.